Good evening, good evening. How everybody doing tonight? This is your preacher man going live on my first podcast, which is going to be put out there very shortly. It's going to be coming soon, so I want you guys to tune in on my podcast. It's going to be called The Lost Sheep. And I came with the title, The Lost Sheep, because one, there's so many of us out there that is lost and seem as if no one cares or no one seems to be able to find us. And we get into a place of not knowing how to let our voice be heard, that we are hurt or we've been through so much because we allow this thing that we call self-confidence gets in the way and mess us all up. So again, the title of this podcast that I'm about to promote and about to put out there is called The Lost Sheep. And first, like I said, I got to give honor to God in putting all this in effect, because none of this would have been possible without Him. And I got to give honor to God, man, because He have blessed me numerous times more than I deserve. And like I say, none of this would have been possible without Him, because I've been that lost sheep. And now that I'm found and I'm no longer lost anymore, so I want to lead other people to Christ and lead other people to finding the greatness of God, because you don't always have to be a lost sheep. You can be found. Someone can find you, you know, so don't get so stuck into yourself where you think that no one can help you, or you just stuck in a pit or in a place where no one can help. So please remain online and please keep following. And like I say, stay tuned for the podcast that about to drop soon. I'm putting every other episodes together. So please just keep watching. Please keep watching. And oh yeah, you said I got the Eagles jersey on, man. You see it. So we looking to fly high on Sunday. We got to play the Commandos, so I'm looking to watch us get that W on that, man. That's going to be awesome. That's going to be awesome. So if you ain't watching the game on Sunday, you got to be looking at it somewhere. At least look at some highlights or something, man, because it's going to be awesome. I got faith in my Eagles. I think they're going to pull it off. Just giving a guess, I think the game probably going to be 32-16, I think it's going to be 32-16, something of that nature, man. But anyway, back to the podcast, talking about the podcast. I'm looking to have individuals on this podcast coming soon. On this podcast, we're going to be talking about things in life. Like I said, the lost sheep. If you've been lost, I want to invite you to this podcast and let people know that you can be found, you know, just like me. It ain't like, we all go through things in life. We all got a story to tell. So please, man, let's let our voice be heard. And like I said, I even started a men's group too. It's called the Come Up Group, where I want men's voice to be heard, because we all sit back in shadows and never say exactly how we feel or what we've been through. And we live with that thing and we take it to the grave. So I really want our voice to be heard. You know, so please stay tuned. I'm ready to get into it. Man. I'm ready to get into it. So, like I said, on the podcast, we're going to have powerful people coming through, telling their stories, telling you things that they've been through in life, how God have blessed them, how God have found them, and how they found God themselves. It's gonna be a mouthful, man. You really have to tune in and watch the podcast and keep updates on the episodes, because it's gonna be great. Like I said, I got a lot of people, great people, positive people that been through things in this world, that many of you probably had similar situations, and this can probably help you overcome these situations that you've faced in this world. So please stay tuned. But I'm going to give you a little bit about the podcast, because I'm going to start it off with myself and tell you how I was the lost sheep and how I was found. So before I start that, I want to start off with a scripture that comes from Psalms 133. And it reads, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It's like a precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment. As do the Hermon and as do the mountain of Zion, for there the Lord command the blessings for even life forevermore." And if you take that scripture, man, they're telling you that it is great to join together as one. Definitely brothers, not only just brothers, but sisters as well. It is great to come together and have a talk, you know, amongst each other and just be able to sit in the same room with someone and converse with them that we are equal. We are the same, you know. We might not have been through the same situation sometimes, but if we talk, we can realize that some situation that we went through are similar. And you never know how you can help someone else, you know, overcome the situation that they face in life. And like I said, that's going to be the start of the lost sheep, because there's many times when I didn't have no one to talk to or to go to and listen to my story or listen to the things that I went through in life. And wishing that my voice could be heard. And now that I got an opportunity to let my voice be heard, that's exactly what I'm going to do, because I want to help the next brother or the next sister or the next kid that's out there that feeling like they have no one to turn to. And when you're in a pit and you don't have nobody to turn to and don't feel like nobody to understand you, you tend to do things that out of norm, you know. You put yourself in situations where you are maybe joining gangs or in the streets. And when you do that, it's only because you feel like no one cares. So, like I said, I'm definitely going to get into the story, man. Start off with my life. I can remember like it was yesterday, you know, as a little kid, growing up, watching, having both my parents being married. At that time, I was a single child, the single kid in the family, and just watching my parents go through this phase of having a family and being one, to turn around to having nothing. And when I say nothing, that mean they separated. It's around the age I've had to give it around about between 9-10 years old when they separated. And watching that separation really took a toll on me and caused me to act out. I acted out in school, didn't care about what happened to me, because all I wanted was my parents to be together, and that didn't happen. They went their separate ways. And when they went their separate ways, I went my separate way as well, because then I found myself trying to mend my family together, if that make any sense. I find myself trying to put my family together, because that's what I was used to and that's what I earned for. And I wanted the love that was given to my family and was given to me when I had both of them, and to watch it be taken away was just something crazy, because then it had an effect on me on the long run, which it, you know, a lot of times we don't talk about those things when you see your parents separate or growing up, you don't understand why those things happen. So to get into it, like I said, I saw my family, my mom and dad separate. My mom went one way and my dad went the other. And as my dad went through the situation, not knowing how to cope with his issues of being separate from my mom when they were married, he turned to alcohol and he became addicted to the alcohol and an alcoholic, as you want to call it. He also got onto the drugs as well, and he did all of that. And then my mom just turned to the streets, and she went back with her mom, and we moved in with my grandma and stayed there for a while. And so watching that really did have an effect on me, because then it was like, well, I wanted both of my parents to be together, and I wanted them to love each other, but not understanding that at that time that was something that they really couldn't get together at the moment. I didn't understand it. So going through those phases, man, trying to grow up as a kid and try to understand that whole situation really did a number on me, man, because what happened when all that happened, I turned to the streets because, for one, it felt like nobody cared about what I had to say or nobody cared about me because my mom was dealing with her own issues and my dad was dealing with his own issues. And it just left me out in the world to feel empty. Like, I really felt alone because of, like, well, who cared about me? Well, who cared about what I thought about? Who cared about my happiness? And all I did was I turned straight to the streets. So I turned and I joined a gang. And in that gang, me joining that gang, it felt like those guys really did care about me, that they listened to me. Mind you, like I said, I'm around the age of 10 years old at that time, going through this phase of joining this gang, and they listened to me. They felt like they took me under their wing. And the reason being, not knowing at that time, but knowing now, is because they went through the same situations that I went through, not having their parents or someone hurt them in their lives, and they only wanted to hurt other people. And that's what happened. And that is a true statement, that hurt people. So I joined this gang, and I can give you a little bit of pieces about it. I'm not going to say what gang that I joined, but I joined the gang and turned to the streets. And one of my first mission in this gang was I had to go steal a gun. And they showed me where the guns was at. And it was a guy on his porch. And it's crazy because the guy was an officer. And I did what he asked me to do as my first mission to be a part of this gang. So I saw the guy and I watched him all day, and I went through the whole process of seeing how he moved, seeing how he operated, what he did with the gun, where he put him at, and came back late on that day. He still was sitting there. And what I did when my opportunity was given to me, I saw the guy went inside the house. He left both of his guns on the porch. And I hopped the fence, grabbed both of the guns, took off running, and ran with the guns down the road. And we all celebrated that night because I completed my first mission. And later on that night, I had to take on some other things that they asked me to do within the gang to continue to join, to get initiated into the gang. It was tough. But like I say, got into the gang, and that whole night we shot the gun that whole night, both of the guns. Excuse me, we shot the guns that whole night. Even the next morning we got up, got more bullets for the gun, shot the gun some more. One of the other members in the gang was actually with my cousin. Actually, two of them was with my cousin. He was like, hey, man, let's go do some other stuff with the gun. I'm like, what are we going to do? So he's like, let's go to the woods. We're going to just shoot the gun. So we went and shoot the gun some more. And in the process of shooting this gun, in the area that we was located in, it was like a apartment semi close by. And we ended up shooting the gun in as we thought was in the air, but not intentionally knowing that we was going to shoot someone. And then we ended up shooting a guy with this gun. And I could hear the guy hollering and screaming and thinking that we shot him. So I was like, okay, well, we just shot somebody, y'all. And they was like, no, 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 no. I'm like, yeah, see, we just shot somebody. I can hear him hollering. And so I went to go look. And it was so crazy because when I went to go look, it was the same guy, the same cop. That gun that I stole was the same guy that we shot. And the bullet hit him in the leg. Because I could see him. He was cutting grass in that area for some odd reason. He was cutting grass, and he fell off the lawnmower, and he was hollering that he got shot in the leg. And so I told my cousin, hey, this is the same guy, that gun that I just stole, man. Like, that's him. He's like, how you know? I saw his face. Like I say again, I studied this guy the whole time, man, and watched him on the porch. And before you know it, the cops was called, and I'm in the woods with some flip-flops on, and we got cops everywhere, and I'm running barefooted. at this time because I ran out of the flip flops and I was running barefooted, running from the cops, and my cousins, they disappeared some way, and it was so crazy because I became tunnel vision when I was running from the cops and I couldn't remember how to get back home. So what I ended up doing, I ran through some woods, and like I said, it was helicopters and everything was just all around us, man. And all I did was just kept running. And my, like I said, and I'm already at the age of, 10 years old, like I said, in that same age. So I kept running. And I remember a big old drain pipes that was, I had a big old ditch, and I jumped down into the ditch and ran down into this drain pipe, and I hid there, at least for some hours, I know for a fact. And until I didn't hear the sounds of sirens and the helicopter flying around anymore. And I finally asked, well, dog, I need to go home. I need to get to my aunt's house, where I was staying at the time. I need to get to my aunt's house. And when I went there, I saw the cops were still around that area. And so I basically hid back into the woods again and to wait till they leave. And when they left, I finally made my way inside. And I didn't know my cousin said he was calling me. And they hid up under the house. They had them a little section cut out up under the house where they hid at. And I didn't know that. So I went inside the house, and my aunt and my mama was over. Everybody was over there. The whole family was over there. And they was asking me, what did I do? And I'm like, I didn't do anything. And they was like, well, we got to turn you in. And when they said that, I took off and I ran back out the door because it was like, nah, y'all not about to take me. I don't want to go to jail. I'm only freaking 10 years old. Like, I didn't do anything. So eventually they seduced me to get back home, and I got back home, and they ended up taking me up to the precinct at that time. And they questioned me, asked me about where did I get the gun from, and that same cop, he gave them like a lineup saying it was a kid watching them all day, and I never said who the kid was, I never told, you know, anybody about who did what and what did anything. And eventually my mom like, you need to tell the truth. And I'm like, I'm telling the truth. I didn't do anything. And I began crying because it's like, man, my whole life is about to be over, because I know in my heart that I stole the guy gun. That's what the cop gun. And I didn't shoot him, but I still stole the gun, both of the guns. And it was like, man, this is about to be over for me. And I'm only 10 years old, you know, and hearing all the stuff when your parents are, oh, you bad, you're gonna get in trouble, and you're gonna do all these other things. And I'm like, man, I gotta live with this right here now, because I caused harm to someone. And like I say, so as they was doing the little process and interviewing me, one of my cousins came in, and he sat down beside me. He was like, listen, I'm gonna take the blame for it. I'm like, He's like, you young, I don't want you to get in trouble. And at that time, my cousin was like 18 years old. He was like, I'll just take the blame for it all, and it's okay. And I'm like, nah, man, nah. I said, I'm young, I should be fine. And the whole time, me and him didn't even know that our other cousin, he already done been turning, because he got caught. And he already done told everything. And he was telling everything and who did what and who stole the gun. And I was hurt, man. And it was like, you about to go down. And my mind, one thing I think of, like, this is over for me. Even though me being a juvenile, it's like, this is over for me, man. I'm done. And but like I said, my older cousin took the blame for the whole thing. He hopped on. He was like, listen, this is it right here. You know, I did it all. I took the gun and I shot the gun, and they sent him off for a little while, and finally he came back home. And that whole time, everybody was asking me, like, why did I do it? And I couldn't tell them at the time why did I did it, because I didn't feel love, or I didn't feel that no one cared. Like, my mom was doing her own thing, my dad was doing his own thing, that nobody seemed to understand what I was going through, understand everything that I was going through, and it's like I was just put in the world alone. So when you see kids in today's society acting out, if you're a parent, pay close attention to your child, because you never know what this child may be going through, whether it's separation from a spouse or a mom or a dad that is separated from each other. It really does play a major effect on your kids, and you must pay close attention, because if you don't pay attention to the signs, then they're going to end up like what I did, joining the streets and joining the gangs. And that wasn't the only thing I did, man, because after doing what I did the first time, like I was saying, taking the guns, man, I still was getting in trouble and not really paying attention in school. And I was just always into something because I wanted attention. And I felt that if I get attention, if I would get in trouble, that both of my parents would come to the school, or they both would interact with each other and bring each other closer. And that's what I did. So I would act out and watch both of them sit down, and they would talk about how they're going to discipline me. And I'm like, oh, maybe they're getting back together now. Maybe they're getting back together now. Like, this is it. But at the same time, it still didn't work. And so I continued to act out. And finally, I remember my grandma asking me, she was like, before she passed, she was like, so what do you want to do with yourself? Because you don't want to keep getting in trouble and get locked up and get sent to prison. And she was like, I don't want that for you. And my grandma got sick. And I stayed with my grandma once my mom moved out. And I stayed with my grandma and I took care of her. And again, my grandma being sick. So it was like, I had to do it myself. And I didn't want her to try to take care of me. So I would skip school. I would fake like I'm going to school. I'd ride my bike like I'm going to school. And I would put a lawnmower behind my bike and I'd go work and get some money. And I'd get her the money. At the same time, nobody really knew that, though, you know, because I was like, my grandma got to take care of me. I got to be a man. She asked me what I was going to do, how I'm going to provide, how I'm going to take care of myself. So I had to show her that I can take care of her, even though she was sick, you know, and that's what I did. And eventually she caught up to me that I was skipping school because the school called and said that I was missing school or whatever. And so she said, well, this is not the way to go. You need to get the education to have a great job. And I really couldn't function right because, like I said, I didn't have my parents. Yeah, I had my grandma, and I wanted to help her as much as I can. And she made it clear to me. She was like, listen, as a young man, you got to get your education and don't allow the things that your parents going through have an effect on you. I mean, it was easy said and done because it was like once you have them and you've been introduced to this love or this caring from both of your parents, then to have it snatched away from you, it does something different to you, man. It really hits you differently. So to make a long story short, but not really short because I'm going to give y'all the full detail of it, man. And went through that whole phase. And once my grandma passed, I remember her asking me that question. How am I going to take care of myself if I can't be a man and go to school and get an education? So at that time, I said, you know what? I got to be a man. I gotta make sure that everything is right. Make sure I get my education. Make sure I'm get the right education to better myself. And in the midst of that whole time, I had a little brother. My mom had another child. And I was like, well, I got a little brother now, and I don't want him to look up to me as do the same thing I did because he feel that he's separated from his parents or something in that sense. And I'm like, well, I don't want that to happen to him because he following my footsteps and he watching me do this bad stuff and watching me go down the wrong path. So I need to get right. And at that moment when my grandma passed away, that took a toll on me because it felt like she was the only one cared at that time. And all I could do was just think about the greatness that she wanted me to, the man that she really wanted me to be. So I buckled down and started getting my getting all my work done. And it was so bad because one day I found one of my transcripts, right, from school. And I think it was like back in like fourth grade. And it was horrible. Like my grade point average was like a 1.4 or something. It was real bad, yo. It was horrible. And one day, and I showed it to my wife one day. I found it in the house here recently, and I showed it to her, and it was horrible. It was like a 1.4. It was just that bad. And I felt dumb because it was like, dang, bro, I really didn't do nothing in school. But I understood that I really didn't apply myself because all the situation and all the things that I was facing, that I was dealing with, of being left alone and put out there in that world. Like I said, that lost sheep. I was that lost sheep because nobody cared about me. And I didn't care if I lived or died because I was already hurting from everything that I was dealing with, from what my parents put me through. So I had to face those situations. And growing up and trying to get into relationships and trying to make myself a man, I find myself getting hurt multiple times and facing different issues in life where, like I said, even in relationships, I try to be more than what I needed to be, if that makes any sense, because I wanted to find that love and wanted to show someone that I'm able to love them, and I would go above and beyond it to express the way I felt. And a lot of times it ended up causing me to get hurt. And I couldn't understand, you know, why females would do that to me. And I'm like, yo, I was just trying to be a man. I would work hard. I would just, you know, be that guy. And a lot of times it ended up with me being hurt. And I couldn't understand it at the time. And when it would happen, I would put myself in a shell where I would return back to being that lost sheep because I didn't know how to cope with someone leaving or someone not being there because I still suffer from those traumas that I was facing when I was a child and I didn't know how to deal with it. And I find myself just shying away from everything and not really coping or learning how to cope with things. And a lot of times you don't want to cope with things. You need to let your voice be heard. And like I said, at that time I didn't know how to do that. Because again, I felt like no one cared. I'm expressing myself to you. I'm showing you how I love you and showing you that I need you. But at the same time, doing all of that to still turn around and get hurt, it will put a toll on you because you find yourself feel like you're doing all of it for nothing. And going through life, you have to learn that every day is not going to be Sunday, you know. You're going to face some situations. You're going to face some things in life. And one thing I will say that after going through all those different tribulations in my life and different trials in my life, God kept me through that whole process. And I know it had to be God because I didn't see it inside of a jail cell. I didn't get put inside a penitentiary or I wasn't put inside of a grave. So I know that God was with me throughout all those different tribulations. And not even that, like even on top of, I even missed a part, so I'm going to back up for you guys. When I was 2 years old, I even split for it. So when I was 2 years old, let you see that my fingers got cut off when I was 2 years old by my grandmother. And I had to, she was cutting grass one day with the lawnmower and didn't see me when she was cutting grass and ended up knocking me out of the chair and running over my hand. And I had to go to the hospital. They rushed me to the hospital to get checked out, well, to get surgery, to get my fingers, to try to put my fingers back on there, but they actually was able to put two of them back on. The other two were infected. And so imagine having that happen to you at 2 years old, then still trying to go through the process of having your parents separate at 10. So when I was 2 years old and getting ready to go to school and go off to school, man, it was like being picked on all the time, getting bullied. I mean, they was calling me names, everything, and having to deal with all of that, and on top of not having your parents to back you up or to understand that you're going through certain things as a child, really does hurt, you know, and it hurts to the point that I can say hurt people till I had to join that gang and realize that me joining that gang, I hurt somebody else, you know? And sometimes parents don't understand the things that they put their kids through or put people through. And sometimes individuals, not only just I won't put it on parents, but people, you know? Sometimes when you are dealing with people, you got to be mindful how you treat them, you know, because you never know how that person or what that person been through. So, like I say, dealing with all of that, I know it had been the grace of God that kept me through all of this. Like I say, even when growing up as a kid, they said I wouldn't have a wife, I wouldn't get a girlfriend. I mean, all, you know, kids can be real cruel at times, you know. And I only can imagine what they're doing nowadays in the school, man. These kids these days can be very cruel. So you got to at least have that conversation with your kids and be able to talk to your kids and have that open conversation with your kids. Because if you don't, man, your kid can be end up in a penitentiary or dead because he dealt with low self-esteem or bullying. So please keep God in the midst of all of this, because, like I said, it had to be the grace of God that kept me and made me to who I am today, because I wasn't always this Christian or this image that you're seeing today, because I dealt with a lot. I mean, I had a lot of anger built up, anxiety built up, so much stuff that I had built up inside that nobody could even see. I mean, rage, I was mad. Almost every day at school, I fought every day, and it was just mind-blowing, because it seemed like nobody really understood it. So doing that, I was able to, God bless me, to have a wife. I got 3 daughters, and the best part about all of it is that I ended up finding myself doing the work of God and ministering to his people and learning that through all things, if I keep God in the midst of everything that I'm doing, that he'll make a way out of no way for me. And that is the best blessing that I can receive. And once I asked for peace in my life, I found that through God, nothing is impossible. And I just thank God for it all. So like I say, I'm going to stop here. So stay tuned. Like I said, that podcast is coming very soon. I'm looking to have it running at least by, if not next week, the week after next. I just got to do a few little things that I'm waiting to come in. So stay tuned. The podcast is on its way. If you got any comments, leave the comments. Whatever you like to see discussed on the podcast, leave it in the comment section. And when the podcast drop, I will definitely be sharing it on TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, and you will be able to find it on YouTube as well. And I just thank my viewers that are joining in right now, that are looking and listening, and so I'm just eager to continue doing great things and continue being blessed, man, because like I said, God have shared his blessing upon me, and I'm just want to share it back to other people, because like I said, I'm an associate pastor as well, and I pastor at Bamberg Church of God, and listen, I can't stop the greatness that God is doing in my life. So with this podcast, you'll be able to let your voice be heard, let the people know things that you dealt with and how you overcome it, and you're no longer the lost sheep anymore. And definitely after you leave on this podcast, you never will be a lost sheep again, because we'll grow a bond and a connection that it's like no other. So again, thank y'all for joining. Stay tuned, and I'll send everything out to y'all.